ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरेत्। नष्टप्रायस्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट नंबर 10 एंड 11। सो फर्स्ट आई रीड द 10th वर्स। यूयं च पितरं वादिष्टा देवदेवेन चानघा प्रजा सर्गाय हि कथं वृक्षान् निर्गतुम् अर्हत। ट्रांसलेशन: ओ प्योर हार्टेड वंस, योर फादर प्राचीनबर्हि एंड द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड हैव ऑर्डर्ड यू टू जनरेट पॉपुलेशन, देयरफॉर हाउ कैन यू बर्न टू एशेस दिस ट्रीज एंड हर्ब्स विच आर नीडेड फॉर द मेंटेनेंस ऑफ योर सब्जेक्ट्स एंड डिसेंडेंट्स। टेक्स्ट नंबर 11 विच इज रिटन हियर: आतिष्ठत सता मार्गम कोपम यच्छत दीपितम पित्रा पितामहेनापि जुष्टं वः प्रति प्रपितामहे। आतिष्ठत सता मार्गम कोपं यच्छत दीपितम् पित्रा पितामहेनापि जुष्टं वः प्रपितामहे। आतिष्ठत सता मार्गम कोपं यच्छत दीपितम् पित्रा पितामहेनापि जुष्टं वः प्रपितामहे। तिष्ठत सता मार्गम कोपं यच्छत दीपितम् कोपं यच्छत दीपितम् पित्रा पितामहेनापि जुष्टं वा प्रपितामहे। आतिष्ठत सता मार्गम् कोपं यच्छत दीपितम् पित्रा पितामहेनापि जुष्टं वा प्रपितामहे। माताजी: आतिष्ठत सता मार्गम कोपं यच्छत दीपितम् आतिष्ठत। जस्ट फॉलो सता मार्गम द पाथ ऑफ द ग्रेट सेंटली पर्सनालिटीज। कोपम द एंगर। यच्छत सबड्यू दीपितम विच इज नाउ अवेकेंड। पित्रा बाय द फादर। pitamahenapi, and by the grandfather, jushtam, executed, vaha, your, prapitamaha, by the great grandfathers. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The path of goodness traversed by your father, grandfather, and great grandfathers is that of maintaining the subjects, prajas, including the men, animals, and trees. That is the path you should follow. Unnecessary anger is contrary to your duty. Therefore, I request you to control your anger. Kindly repeat. The path of goodness traversed by your father, grandfather, and great grandfathers is that of maintaining the subjects, prajas, including the men, animals, and trees. That is the path you should follow. Unnecessary anger is contrary to your duty. Therefore, I request you to control your anger. Purpose. Here the words pitra pitamahe napi jushtam va prapitamahe depict an honest royal family consisting of the kings, their father, their grandfather, and their great grandfathers. Such a royal family has a prestigious position because it maintains the citizens or prajas. The word praja refers to one who has taken birth within the jurisdiction of the government. The exalted royal families were conscious that all living beings, whether human, animal, or lower than animal, should be given protection. The modern democratic system cannot be exalted in this way because the leaders elected strive only for power and have no sense of responsibility. In a monarchy, a king with a prestigious position follows the great deeds of his forefathers. Thus Soma, the king of the moon, here reminds the Prachetas about the glories of their father, grandfather, and great-grandfathers. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakya Shakshun Mulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savathutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधु वैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, in today's verse, it is mentioned that Soma, the moon god, is requesting the sons of Prachina Bhari, who are called Prachetas, and you have been hearing for last few days, that how when the 10 sons of King Prachina Bhari, they were actually doing severe austerities inside water. And when they came out of water, then they saw that the earth was filled with many trees, like forests. And so they were a little angry because they were supposed to be prajapatis, they were supposed to increase the progeny in this material world. And to subsist, human beings, they need food grains. And if the entire earth is covered with forest and trees, then how can we grow food grains? So they were a little angry, and they wanted to burn all the trees. Actually, fire started emanating from their eyes, right? So, but Soma, the moon god, got disturbed because he's moon god is responsible for vegetation in this planet. Right? In Bhagavad Gita, also Krishna mentions that. So this is unknown to people in general, but moon also plays a very significant role in nourishing the vegetation on this planet. So moon god, he became disturbed and he wanted to stop the prachetas. So he requested them, right? So he's instructing the prachetas that what are you doing? You are coming from a great lineage, your father, great king Prachinabhari, and then your forefathers, they were great kings. And a king is meant to protect the praja. Prabhupada has explained this so many times that the word praja means one who has taken birth, right? So praja doesn't refer only to human beings, because animals also take birth, plants also take birth. So the king's first and foremost duty is to give protection to all the prajas. That means everybody who has taken birth, be it human being, animal, like Prabhupada is mentioning in this translation, it is mentioned, including men, animals and trees, right? And Srila Prabhupada is talking in this purport that how the kings in earlier days, when the system of monarchy was there, they were very conscious about this fact, that they wanted to give protection to all the prajas in their kingdom. But unfortunately, today, as you all know, that we have a so-called democratic system in which the leaders are not at all concerned about welfare of anybody, right? So they are not even concerned about welfare of human beings, what to speak of animals and trees. They are completely not at all, they are bothered about animals and trees. In fact, I want to share a little bit that just recently someone gave me a book by one devotee called Sahadev Das. It talks about a master plan to convert India to a desert by 2050. So very very startling figures are mentioned in that book. That how in the last 10 years or so, how this in India, this meat eating and slaughterhouses have been given promotion, right? You know that in India there was some green revolution in 50s and 60s. They wanted to increase the agricultural production, so they used all fertilizers and urea. So that is one destruction they caused. Then there was white revolution. But the worst that happened in the last 10 years was there's something called pink revolution. You may wonder, what is pink revolution? It is increasing meat production. Right? Imagine in a country like India, which cows are respectable and worshipped, India has become the world's number one beef exporter. Right? Even surpassing countries like Australia, US and Brazil. And this is all because of government. Like exactly opposite. The actual king is supposed to protect the animals, men and trees. But unfortunately, what has happened last 10 years? The government has given all kinds of support and encouragement to the meat industry in India. Right? I mean, that book is filled with so many figures. You can also see on the internet that how government, it has given almost 50% to 90% subsidy for establishing slaughterhouse. That means as a businessman, if you want to establish a modern slaughterhouse, the government will give you subsidy of 50 to 90%. Imagine. And so many tax concessions and so many incentives to promote this modern slaughterhouses. All the technology were imported from countries like China and Europe. First class, like modern slaughterhouses, right? High-tech slaughterhouses, automatic, fully. Animal goes in one end and then finally you get all processed meat. This, I mean, thousands and thousands of animals can be killed within hours. So this is the... I mean, what has happened over the last 10 years? Actually, it was there for many years, but especially in the last 10 years, this was given a lot of emphasis and stress in the name of Pink Revolution. So this is very, very sad. And if you read first canto of Bhagavatam, I'm sure most of you have read, you will see last few chapters where this description of Parikshit Maharaj giving punishment to Kali Purusha, who was trying to beat a cow and bull. So many purports Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that is so sad that the government is maintaining slaughterhouses and arranging for mass killing of animals. I mean, so many purports you will find that Prabhupada is so concerned that what is happening today. Especially he says that there is no problem because some people, they want to eat meat. But at least don't open this modernized slaughterhouses, right? In which there is completely systematic system of just butchering animals. And, you know, I'll just read one very nice morning work conversation, Srila Prabhupada says. Please hear carefully. Anyone who takes milk, this is a conversation in Perth in 1975, Srila Prabhupada is saying, May 10th, 1975, Perth. Anyone who takes milk, right, Prabhupada is saying, everyone takes milk. The cow is the mother, mother gives milk. And mother, when she cannot supply milk, mother should be cut up. Is that a very good philosophy? Is it human philosophy? What is the answer? You are eating everything, except the moving cars. You are eating all the moving animals. The car also moves, but you cannot eat. Otherwise, you are killing everything. You have become so civilized rascal that your business is to kill other animals and eat. You are so civilized, you are still in the crude form of human being. Just like in the jungles, the aborigines, the Africans. They do not know how to develop civilization. Crude methods, eating the animals. That also, they are not so uncivilized that they keep slaughterhouses. You are so uncivilized that you are keeping slaughterhouses regularly. These Africans and other jungle people, they eat meat, but they directly kill. They have no such civilization as to maintain a slaughterhouse. The tigers eat meat, but they do not keep a slaughterhouse. And you are so civilized, you are keeping slaughterhouse. Why should you keep? The government should not allow to keep slaughterhouses. If anyone wants to eat meat, let him eat like tigers and others. Individually kill one animal, a lower animal, not cows. This should be the government law. You kill it in your home, before your children and family, and eat. That is not good civilization, Srila Prabhupada. So you can see that in Vedic civilization, killing somebody who is very attached to eating meat is allowed, but not cow's meat, never. And that too, there are very strict regulations, like you have to sacrifice the goat or some lower animal before Goddess Kali, that too once a month. It's very regulated. But what is happening now is that people don't know, I mean, when somebody kills animal on his own, when you sacrifice, so you see the pain of the animal, so you don't want to eat so much. But now what is happening, you don't know. I mean, you just go to market, or all this last 10 years, all these chains have come. I mean, this KFC and McDonald's, and it's so disheartening to see all that. It's filled. You go to any city, you'll find all this KFC and Subway and all this. They are famous for this. You see a person's picture in the KFC photo, he's a butcher. He's butchering animals. Right? And all these food chains are growing in India. So what happens? You just go to that shop, you order something, you'll get a nice packed plate of whatever your meat. I don't realize from where it is coming. But if this system is followed, like in earlier times, at least people are aware of the pain that animal goes through when you eat meat. So this is something very, very sad which is happening. I'll just read one more quote of Srila Prabhupada in Srimad Bhagavatam 1, 12 and 19. Purport. These saintly kings gave protection to all the prajas or living beings to live and fulfill the terms of embodiment. Maharaj Parikshit was actually an ideal saintly king because while touring his kingdom, he happened to see that a poor cow was about to be killed by the personified Kali, whom he at once took to a task as a murderer. This means that even the animals were given protection by the saintly administrators, not from any sentimental point of view, but because those who have taken their birth in the material world have the right to live. A very important point. That why should the king protect the animals? It's not sentimental, because it's a basic principle that whoever has taken birth in this material world has right to live. Just like I have the right to live, right? If somebody wants to kill me, I'll definitely protest. Similarly, Jai Shri Gaur Nitai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar ki Jai. If I have a right to live in this world, why not others? Right? Why should I think that others don't have right to live? Right? Because Krishna, he has created this material world. What is the purpose? He wants to give all the conditioned souls a chance to elevate their consciousness. Right? That is the basic purpose of creation. Everybody is given a chance to elevate in his consciousness. So you know that animals, I mean, they gradually evolve from lower form to higher form. Eventually they come to human form. So
I mean, we don't have the right to stop their evolution process and kill them. So this has to be understood, the philosophy. Like recently you must have heard some government, I mean, they're trying to at least stop cow killing. But the problem is, they don't know why, the philosophy behind it. So they're not able to convince people. Just sentimentally they're saying, let's stop cow killing and all that. But once somebody realizes the principle behind it, that why it should not be allowed, then it will have more effect. Here, if you understand this basic principle, that God has created all living beings, and they all have right to live and elevate in their consciousness. Right? So this is a basic principle. And there is one more important thing, which also Srila Prabhupada tells, which we heard, that especially cows and bulls, they are very important even from economy of the society. Right? Because you know that cow, they give us milk, that all of you know it's a miracle food. But more importantly is the cow dung, which the cows and bulls they give, and the use of bull for agriculture. Right? I mean, it's very soon the world is realizing that's where there's more shift towards organic farming. But it's very simple. It was being followed for thousands of years in the past. But in the name of so-called green revolution, we destroyed everything. That the cow dung it's so miraculous. That is why, you know, Lakshmi Devi is said to reside where? Not in milk, but in cow dung. Right? In the Vedic philosophy, you will see that before anything auspicious, they spread that area with cow dung, because that considered to be Lakshmi Devi is supposed to reside in cow dung. Why? Because cow dung is extremely important for agriculture. Right? And by stopping the use of cow dung in agriculture, we have spoiled our land entirely. The land has become dead. Because what happens, in the cow dung, there are millions of microbes, very useful germs, and they make the soil alive. And that's how the crops they throw up in that soil. There are so many earthworms and so many microorganisms which make the soil fertile. What has happened when we use urea and other chemicals, we kill the soil. All the microbes, everything is dead. We have artificial nitrogen and everything in the soil. That is not needed. Natural system that Krishna has made, God has made, is that there are so many microorganisms, earthworms, the full system which maintains the soil. But foolishly we have destroyed everything. Right? So therefore, it's very important for, first of all, we should realize, right? We as devotees, sometimes we don't know the importance of all these things, like importance of cows and importance of farming based on cow dung. So first of all, we must realize, and also we must have some methods to preach it to others and somehow increase the awareness. Of course, we can't become the kings or rulers of the country and change everything. That's not possible. Maybe in future, if Krishna wants. But at least for the time being, we can do this simple thing, that first of all, we educate ourselves of the importance of cows and farming and try to convince others. I was thinking what to speak today, because we can't go on speaking about cows and killing of cows. It's not such a good topic. So one nice pastime I thought of sharing with all of you is the pastime of Chand Kazi. Right? All of you know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's a beautiful pastime. And there is a mention of cows also. So I thought, let's talk about that pastime a little bit. It's a very beautiful time pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. So I'll try to discuss that pastime a little bit. Hare Krishna. So all of you know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came back from Gaya, he started exhibiting his pastimes as a devotee. But he used to conduct kirtan in the house of Srivas Pandit. Right? He was not doing public sankirtan. Right? So he used to do kirtan in the night with his intimate devotees. And in the daytime, he used to instruct the public to do kirtan. Right? He used to tell everybody that you chant Hare Krishna, you do kirtan. And everybody in Navadvip, they followed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. That time he was Nimai Pandit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became after taking sannyas. So everybody, they followed Nimai's instruction, and they started chanting kirtan, doing sankirtan, right? So as they were doing sankirtan, the magistrate of Navadvip that time, his name was Chand Kazi, right? So he became a little angry, right? Because people went and complained to him that this Hindus, they are doing kirtan. In fact, the so-called Hindus also became envious. The Brahmanas and other people, they thought by doing kirtan, our business will be stopped. People will not follow us. So the Hindus complained and the Muslims complained, and the Chand Kazi came. So it says Chankazi angrily came to one home in the evening and he stopped the kirtan. He broke mridanga, right? And also started beating some devotees who did kirtan. And then Chankazi gave this instruction. No one should perform sankirtan on the streets of the city. Today, I am excusing the offenses and returning home. The next time I see someone performing such sankirtan, I shall certainly chastise him by not only confiscating all his property, but also converting him to a Muslim. After saying this, the Qazi returned home, and the devotees, greatly shocked that they were forbidden to chant Hare Krishna, submitted their grief to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya ordered, go perform sankirtan. Today I shall kill all the Muslims. Returning home, all the citizens began performing sankirtan. But because of the order of the Qazi, they were not carefree, but always full of anxiety. Understanding the anxiety within the people's mind, the Lord called them together and spoke to them as follows. So this entire pastime is there in, I'm reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela Volume 2, Chapter 17. So what happened? I mean, Lord told that you continue kirtan, but still people are very afraid. So then Mahaprabhu again called all the devotees and made a very profound announcement. He said,
Nagare nagare aji karimu kirtan, sandhya kale kare sabhe nagara mandana.
In the evening, I shall perform sankirtan in each and every town. Therefore, you should all decorate the city in the evening. In the evening, burn torch lights in every home. I shall give protection to everyone. Let us see what kind of Qazi comes to stop our kirtan. Right? Normally we hear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Trinada Pisunishena mood of humility. But here you see how Mahaprabhu is exhibiting his another side. Right? He's roaring, he's saying, let us see who will come and stop the kirtan. In the evening, Lord Gaurasundar went out and performed three parties to perform kirtan. In the front party danced Thakur Haridas, and in the middle party danced Advaita Acharya with great jubilation. Lord Gaurasundar himself danced in the rear party, and Sri Nityananda Prabhu moved with Lord Chaitanya's dancing. The grace of the Lord, Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, has elaborately described this incident in Chaitanya Mangal, now Chaitanya Bhagavat. Right? So this was a very, very beautiful pastime. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, some pastimes are not mentioned in detail because it has already been mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So in Chaitanya Bhagavat, a very, very beautiful description is there that how this whole pastime took place. Because remember, it's the first time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began dancing in the public. Right? Before that, he was always dancing in the house of Srivas Pandit. So, I'll just read something from Chaitanya Bhagavat also. Right. What human being has the ability to describe how the Lord danced with his associates, servants, weapons and confidential companions? It is said that millions of people, how many people? Millions and millions of people, they joined Mahaprabhu. And they all carried torches. You know this kind of torch? It's called, mashal in Hindi they call. Hand torch, handmade torch, right? With fire burning on the top. So all the millions of people, they were carrying torches in their hand. Right? And it is said that the light which was coming, it was as if 100 suns have arisen together. It was night time, evening time, but so much light was emanated from all these torches. And it is said all the demigods also joined the party. Right? Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Narada, everybody took human forms and joined this great Sankirtan procession. And it is said that they were doing Kirtan and they were clapping their hands also. You may wonder, they're holding torch in one hand, and how can they clap? So Vrindavan Das Thakur says, actually they all turn into 400 forms. All the Vaishnavas, they turn into 400 forms. But they didn't realize that they had four hands, because they're so much absorbed in Sankirtan, they didn't know that they have four hands. So in two hands they were clapping, and the other hand they were holding the torch, and some oil, extra oil. So imagine, just think for a moment this sight. Millions of people holding torches in their hand and clapping and mridangas playing and loud sankirtan going on with Haridas Thakur dancing, Srivas Pandit dancing. And in the end, who was dancing? Not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu alone, Gaur Nithai together, right? Because Nityanand Prabhu said that I can't be separated from you. The first time that Gaur Nithai together, they're dancing in the streets of Navadvip. You can just imagine the beauty of this wonderful scene. And that time Mahaprabhu was not sannyasi, right? So he was very beautiful with long hairs and nice decoration. So I'll read a few verses describing the beauty of Mahaprabhu. Right? Millions of people gathered at the Lord's doorstep. The loud vibration of Hari's names penetrated the universe. The loud roaring of Sachi's son filled the ears of everyone there. As they all became overwhelmed with his loud roars, they chanted the name of Hari and lit their torches. Millions of torches were lit in the four directions, and millions of people chanted the name of Hari in the four directions. Who has the ability to describe the wonderful scene and the ecstasy that manifested there? Right? No one could tell whether the full moon had appeared, whether the sun had appeared, or whether the stars had appeared. The entire sky was filled with illumination. Perhaps Krishna had appeared there in the form of light. As Sri Gaurasundar loudly chanted the name of Hari, all the Vaishnavas got ready. The Lord then began kirtan in the midst of the devotees, who were all decorated with garlands, colored powder, and sandalwood paste. Their hands were adorned with karatals and vampers. Each one of them had the power to defeat millions of lions. Surrounded by his devotees, who were non-different from him, the son of Sachi began to move forward. When the Lord moved forward while dancing in ecstasy, everyone chanted the name of Hari and floated in waves of ecstasy. Everyone became freed from material suffering on seeing the Lord's beautiful face, and they all joyfully chanted the name of Hari. The Lord's beauty defeated that of millions of cupids. There is nothing with which it may be compared. Jiniya kandarpa koti lavanya rasima heno nahi yahadiya kariba upama tathapi ha balitana kripa anusare anyatha se rupa kahi bare ke bapare. Still by his mercy I am trying to explain, otherwise who is able to describe his beautiful form? Right? So I'll read a few verses describing the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jyotirmaya kanaka vigraha vedasar chandane bhushitayena chandrira akar. His effulgent golden form is the essence of the Vedas. He was decorated with sandalwood paste and appeared like the moon. Chanchara chikura shobhe malatira mala madhura madhura hase jini sarva kala. His curling hair was decorated with a garland of jasmine, and his sweet smile defeated all artistic expression. Lalate chandana shobhe phagu bindu sane bahutuli hari bole shri chandra vadane. His forehead was decorated with sandalwood paste and dots of colored powder. He raised his arms, and the name of Hari emanated from his moon-like face. His flower garland that hung down to his knees swung to and fro. His entire body became wet with the tears flowing from his lotus eyes. His two strong arms were like golden pillars. Being decorated with hair standing on end, his body looked like a golden kadamba flower. You know kadamba flower? With having small yellow eruptions. So the body of Lord Chaitanya was like a kadamba flower, because the hairs, they stood on the end. His lips were enchanting, and his teeth were beautiful. His eyebrows stretched to the bottom of his ears. His shoulders defeated those of the king of elephants. His broad chest was decorated with a thin white Brahmana thread. Lakshmi and Tulasi resided at his lotus feet. He was dressed in supremely pure and fine cloth. His nose was raised, and his lion-like neck was enchanting. His body was taller and more golden than that of anyone else. People in all directions said, "See how the Lord's hair is decorated with various flowers." The crowd was so thick that if a mustard seed was dropped, it would not reach the ground. Yet, by the mercy of the Lord, everyone could happily see the Lord's face. On seeing the Lord's beautiful face, all the women made auspicious sounds and constantly chanted the name of Hari. At every doorstep, there were bunches of bananas, clay pots filled with water, coconuts and mango twigs. There were most attractive ghee lamps burning and opulent plates filled with yogurt, dhruva grass and rice paddy. Every doorstep in Nadia was decorated in this way, yet no one knew who had done. Right? Hare Krishna. So anyway, it's a very, very beautiful description. You must have heard now that how Mahaprabhu in his very beautiful form is dancing, right? And every house in Nadia was decorated very beautifully with mango leaves, with yogurt, with pots of water, and nobody knew who did it. And the crowd was so thick that if you dropped a mustard seed, you know, mustard seed is so small, even mustard seed would not fall on the ground. Imagine the crowd of devotees which were there in this kirtan. So anyway, in this way, the huge kirtan party, where it was going? Towards the house of Chand Kazi, right? So, very, very opulent and such a beautiful Sankirtan procession. So now, let me again come back to Chaitanya Charitamrit. So performing Kirtan in this way, circumambulating through every nook and corner of the city, they finally reached the door of the Kazi. Right? Murmuring in anger and making a roaring sound, the people under the protection of Lord Chaitanya became mad through such indulgence. The loud sound of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra certainly made the Kazi very much afraid, and he hid himself within his room. Hearing the people thus protesting, murmuring great anger, the Kazi would not come out of his home. So what happened? Seeing the huge crowd chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, right, the Kazi became very afraid. In fact, there were some people who were chanting that burn the Kazi's house, kill the Kazi, right? So the Kazi became very angry, very afraid, and he hid inside his home. So naturally, some of the people who were very much agitated began to retaliate the Kazi's action by wrecking his house and flower garden. Srila Vrindavandas Thakur has elaborately described this incident. Thereafter, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached the Kazi's house, he sat down by the doorway and sent some respectable persons to call for the Kazi. So Mahaprabhu also reached, but then Mahaprabhu wanted to have a dialogue with the Kazi, right? A kind of a peace dialogue. So this, the whole incident, already Kazi was so afraid. So he was very happy though, at least he thought maybe they'll burn my house today, they'll kill me. But he was very happy, okay, at least Mahaprabhu is calling me for a dialogue. So when the Kazi came out, he bowed down his head, right? He bowed down his head before Lord Chaitanya, and then Mahaprabhu also gave him proper respect. In a friendly way, the Lord said, now please hear what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling to Chand Kazi. Sir, I have come to your house as your guest, but upon seeing me, you hid yourself in your room. What kind of etiquette is this? Right? Mahaprabhu is saying that I came to meet you and why are you hiding from me? The Kazi replied, you have come to my house in a very angry mood. To pacify you, I did not come before you immediately, but kept myself hidden. Now that you have become pacified, I have come to you. It is my good fortune to receive a guest like your honor. So actually, there was some relationship between Chand Kazi and Mahaprabhu. Because Nilambar Chakravarti was the maternal grandfather of Mahaprabhu. So he was like uncle of Chand Kazi. You know, like in villages, even now, they call some people as uncle. It's like a relation, it's like a maid relation. So Chand Kazi says that I am like your uncle because your grandfather was my uncle. So right, I am like your uncle and you are my nephew, right? So he's saying that sometimes nephew may become angry, but the uncle forgives. And sometimes the uncle may become angry, but the nephew forgives. So don't become so angry. So Chand Kazi is trying to pacify Mahaprabhu. So so now please hear carefully. I'll just read a few more minutes. The Lord said, my dear uncle, I have come to your home just to ask you some questions. Yes, the Kazi replied. You are welcome. Just tell me, what is in your mind? The Lord said, please hear carefully. This is the main thing because of which I am reading this pastime. Prabhu koye godugdha khao gabhi tomara mata vrishana upajaye tate teho pita. The Lord said, you drink cow's milk. Therefore, the cow is your mother. And the bull produces grains for your maintenance. Therefore, he is your father. So here Mahaprabhu is saying this famous that cow is your mother and bull is your father. Since the bull and cow are your father and mother, How can you kill and eat them? What kind of religious principle is this? On what strength are you so daring that you commit such sinful activities? So see, this is very important, right? That we are not simply in the name of that we are devotees and we are chanting Hare Krishna. It's not that we just keep quiet seeing all the violence and people killing cows and eating. At least to some extent we should also protest and we should do our best to stop it. So Mahaprabhu is saying the Qazi, why are you doing this, right? So Prabhupada is saying in the purport, therefore, in a Krishna conscious movement, our first principle is no meat eating. He says, anybody who comes to our movement, we ask them not to eat meat. So this is another great way of stopping violence, because let's try and preach to maximum people to become vegetarian. So naturally, if they don't eat meat, then the demand for meat will go down. So this is one possibility, if you preach in a vigorous scale and convert people to vegetarians. Now the Qazi is replying. What the Qazi replies? He says that even in Vedas and Puranas, there is mention of eating meat. So why you are telling us that only we are eating meat? So Qazi is saying that even in your Vedas, there is provision for killing cows in sacrifices. And the Quran, we say we can eat meat. What's the problem? He says in Quran, there is two path, pravritti and nivritti. So those who are in the pravritti path, they are allowed to eat meat. There is nothing wrong in that. So now Mahaprabhu answers. Right? So Mahaprabhu is saying that the Lord replied, the Vedas clearly enjoin that cows should not be killed. Therefore, every Hindu, whoever he may be, avoids indulging in cow killing. In the Vedas and Puranas, there are injunctions declaring that if one can revive a living being, one can kill it for experimental purposes. That means the killing of cows in Vedas is not like killing cows for eating. No. When the huge sacrifice is performed, as a test for the sacrifice, whether the mantras are chanted properly or not, they sacrifice a cow, but immediately the cow receives a new body, or sometimes a body of a human being, or even a demigod. So that is a test of the sacrifice, whether the sacrifice is proper or not. So therefore, the great sages sometimes killed old cows, and by chanting Vedic hymns, they brought them back to life for perfection. The killing and rejuvenation of such old and invalid cows was not truly killing, but an act of great benefit. Formerly, there were powerful brahmanas who could make such experiments using Vedic hymns. But now, because of the Kali Yuga, brahmanas are not so powerful. Therefore, the killing of cows and bulls for rejuvenation is forbidden. And then he quotes the famous verse, Aswamedham gavalambam sanyasam pala petrikam devarena sutotpattim kalau pancha vivarjayat. In this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden. The offering of horse in sacrifice, the offering of cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of order of sannyas, the offering of oblation of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. Since you Muslims cannot bring killed cows back to life, you are responsible for killing them. Therefore, you are going to hell. There is no way for your deliverance. Cow killers are condemned to rot in hellish life for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of the cow. Right? So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu convinced the Qazi that actually cow killing should not be done. And after hearing this statement by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his argument stunned. Qazi accepted defeat and spoke as follows. Then Qazi is saying, my dear Nimai Pandit, what you have said is all true. Our scriptures have developed only recently and they are certainly not logical and philosophical. So the Qazi accepted defeat. And then the Qazi actually, he surrendered to Lord Chaitanya after this, right? The Qazi said, O Gaur Hari, right? He says that, I'll not stop the Kirtan anymore, right? But then something, Qazi said, Lord, I want to say you something in secret. Mahaprabhu said, what is that you want to tell me? So then Chand Qazi is saying, you know, Lord, what happened? When I went to a Hindu's house and broke the drum and forbade the performance of congregational chanting in my dreams that very night, whom did he see in the dream? I saw a greatly fearful lion roaring very loudly. His body like a human being's and his face like a lion. Who is he? Lord Narsingdev Bhagwan ki jai. While I was asleep, the lion jumped on my chest, laughing fiercely and gnashing his teeth. Placing his nails on my chest, the lion said in a very grave voice, I shall at once bifurcate your chest as you broke the mridanga drum. You have forbidden the performance of my congregational chanting, therefore I must destroy you. Being very much afraid of him, I closed my eyes and trembled. Seeing me so afraid, the lion said, I have defeated you just to teach you a lesson, but I must be merciful to you. On that day, you did not create a very great disturbance. Therefore, I have excused you and not taken your life. But if you perform such activities again, I shall not be tolerant. At that time, I shall kill you, your entire family, and all the meat eaters. After saying this, the lion left, but I was very much afraid of him. Just see the marks of his nails on my heart. So then, actually, Qazi showed his chest, and there were marks of the nails of Lord Narsingdev. The Qazi continued, I do not speak to anyone about this incident, but on that very day, one of my elderlies came to see me. So anyway, it's a very nice pastime. What's the time now? Yeah, it's almost 9 o'clock. So in this way, you can see that Chand Qazi surrendered to the Lord. And then the Chand Qazi gave an order. He said that, he gave a standing order that nobody in my territory shall henceforward obstruct Kirtan. He said, not only me, but all my future generations, nobody will obstruct the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So now also in Mayapur, I think there's a samadhi of Chand Qazi. He's still respected as a great devotee. So this is a wonderful pastime. But I spoke about this pastime because of this subject of protection of animals and especially cows, which the Prabhupada is saying. So yeah, let's try our best, whatever we can. I mean, let's preach and whatever we can, let's try to propagate this consciousness that people should not kill cows, and best is they should become vegetarians, right? Hare Krishna. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any questions, any comments? Please, you're free to ask. Yes. They are trying, but there's so much protest, so they cannot make it a nationwide policy. In few states in India, it's being followed. So at least the present government is a little better than the previous government. But you see, I mean, there's still so much objection and protection. So that's what I'm saying, that if, because they are doing it sentimentally, but if you convince and tell the logic that how it is useful for the economy of the country and kind of with some preaching, then it'll have more effect. Well, they are just, the present government is little bit, they have some soft corner for Vedic civilization, I mean for Vedas. So they just simply say that cow is our mother, so we should not kill cows. And that's why the others, you know, the other political leaders, so they say it's all mythology and why are you stopping killing cows, it's good for the economy, we are getting more foreign exchange by exporting beef. So in the same logic, if you try to convince that, for the long run of the country, it's good for the ecology of the country, and so maybe they can be convinced. Yeah. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.